When it's time for your next real estate transaction, look to Helping the People for an innovative and socially conscious way to buy or sell a home. You'll be matched with a preferred realtor to lead you through the transaction professionally and efficiently. Plus, 25% of the commission is donated to support our veterans program. And that provides veterans with bathroom remodels for their service-connected injuries. So, you're looking to buy a home? Or it's time to sell yours? Give them a call at 833-694-6636 or visit helpingthepeople.org.
Are you wanting to buy a new jersey to get ready for the football season, or maybe something cool for your family room? Just being conscious of your choices and buying decisions, you can change the life of a veteran, and it doesn't cost you any money that you weren't already spending. Instead of going directly to company websites, make sure you click on our banners and links when buying from those well-known websites and brands, and 2% to 30% of your total purchase is donated to our Support Our Veterans program. Each time you buy. Helping the People has partnered with 47 companies like Amazon, House, Cost Plus World Market, Travelocity, StubHub, Hotwire, Rodin and Field, Suzanne Summers, NFL and MLB Shop, and many more. So that jersey you want, NFL Shop donates 6%. That new cool thing for your family room, House donates 10% of your total purchase. 10%, people. Next time you want to buy something, go to everythinghomepodcast.com and click on the Products Buy Now tab. And please, shop away. Each purchase you make changes the life of a veteran. And remember, go to everythinghomepodcast.com, click on that Products Buy Now tab. Thank you for helping those that served for you.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Your home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure and contents to what goes on inside and within yourself. To make sure this foundation is solid as can be, we invite a special guest to share something you will find enlightening, inspiring, and entertaining. Now here's your host, Michelle Swinnick. Enjoy the show.
Well, welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance, and we're showcasing good people doing good business and good things. And this has really become a place where you can find all types of different people and topics, ranging from small business to empowering events and nonprofit organizations, health and wellness, entertainment, and so much more information. And really, the people that are on the show, I mean, it's not just anybody. It's people that either I've come in contact with or the referral from someone or someone I've known or worked with for anywhere from 2 years to 20 or 30. And they really are good people and they're really doing some good business and good things out there. And my job is to introduce you to them, get you the opportunity to get to know them. And then obviously on our website, they have all of their information listed. All the shows are on there, which is everythinghomepodcast.com. You can hear a little scrumbling in the background there. That's my guest in the green room. Got to tell Whitney to simmer down now. Simmer down now, Whitney, in the background. We hear a little flustering. It's like a little raccoon digging in the garbage. We hear a little bit of background noise back there. But anyway, the website has everybody's information. It has all of the podcasts, which is everythinghomepodcast.com. So you can go on there. Get a chance to know somebody. You know, it's amazing. People say, hey, I do this, I do that. Or they send you to a website or they give you a link and you read some information, but you don't really get to know them. You don't get to hear anything about them. They could be amazing or they could just be some average Joe. And, you know, at this point in the game, we all want to work with amazing people. So this gives you an opportunity to click on the banner and listen to what they have to say. Because if you don't like them, it doesn't really matter what they're selling or what kind of service they have. You don't like the person. So this way, you get a chance to know them and you get a chance to really get in touch with some amazing people that are doing fabulous things out there on there. The other thing you can do is you can always listen and subscribe to the Everything Home podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and Player FM. And if you want, head on over to Facebook and like and follow us on Everything Home podcast. you want to give me some feedback, you have some guests that you'd like me to interview, there's some topics that you want to know about, please let me know, because what we're trying to do here is create a community. So it's interactive. Let me know what's going on. Let me know what you like. Let me know what you don't like. But if you're going to be mean, then we don't approve that kind of fan mail. So keep all of that little troll stuff that people love to do, which I just can't even believe that what goes on in this social media world. You can kind of keep that to yourself, and you have something like your mom used to say, if you don't have something nice to say, then don't say anything at all. That's a whole nother show that we'll bring up at a different point. But I want to get into today's show. The listeners know I like to start with a little joke to get the juices flowing, get your mind off of what's going on, so you can take a time out here and enjoy the next 20, 30 minutes. Something, get to know our guest, Whitney. This guy's a character. I've known him for a very long time. So you're going to really enjoy what we're going to talk about today, because it really is important stuff. And even though it is a serious topic, we are going to have a little humor thrown in, because he does have a fabulous personality. So I'm going to start with my joke, and then we'll talk to Whitney. So as you know, I like to get a joke from Joel Osteen. He's going to be... he's one of my guests that I'm in the process of stalking. So we're getting a little bit closer to getting him on the show. I heard about this man, and he was at the airline ticket counter, and he was hollering and screaming at the agent. He was just being so rude. And as he continued to rant and rave, the agent was just very calm and polite as can be. And she acted like, you know, it didn't even bother her. Well, and he left, and the next man stepped up and said to the agent, "Well, wow, I'm just really impressed that you must be some sort of a Christian." And he said, "How could you possibly be so kind to this guy when he was just going crazy on you?" And she smiled and she said, "Oh, it's not hard. You see, he's going to Detroit and his bags are going to Bangkok." Hey, there you go. No, and I forgot to give Whitney the heads up that I have a live studio audience here. So every once in a while, they do like to, the peanut gallery does chime in. So at least I know that my jokes will always be laughed at. So I keep them on call for when we need them. As you can hear, there's a little chuckle in the back. And I do appreciate when my guests interact and enjoy the jokes. So I'm going to introduce you to Whitney Sorrell. And Whitney is, like you said, he's a character, but he's a really good, an attorney and a CPA. And he owns the Sorrell Law Firm. The Trust Design Center. He also was a previous IRS agent for 5 years. So he does have very interesting background. We're going to do some future shows about some tips and tricks and some other things about the IRS that you need to know. But for today's show, we're going to be talking about estate planning and trust in wills. So how are you today, Whitney?
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I wasn't laughing at your joke, by the way. That was the raccoons back there, you know, nibbling on my ribs in the green room.
You know, yeah, and I appreciate that. I've got multiple green ones. You got one here. We've got one there. We got virtual. It's a big operation. You know what I mean? It's bigger than what you really think. There's multiple staff. I mean, this is big time.
Right? Yeah, I heard your green room at the main center is fabulous, but you stuck me in the former IRS guy green room with no frills.
Right. You know, you got the shoebox. There's some receipts in it. The light bulb is swaying from that one cord, you know, like a really
there's
bad
a polyester
movie.
Suit over there in the corner also.
Yeah. It's an old cheese plate. The cheese is hard. The fruit has gone bad. You know, it's we make sure that certain guests get the best of the best. So why don't you give the listeners a little information about your background, and then we will start talking about trusts and wills. Estate planning is a much bigger deal, and it is really something very important that a lot of people don't want to talk about it, but even if you don't have big wealth and you don't have a ton of money, it's still important because there's...
You know, it's funny that people don't want to talk about it because they think that if they do, then they're getting ready to die and they're not ready to die yet. That is kind of a strange... Not everyone, but we see that every now and then. Michelle, me, I'm a Scottsdale homegrown guy. I mean, I was born in Northern California, but we moved here when I was just a kid, and my dad started this development in the middle of nowhere. He told me he thought his partners had heat stroke. They weren't really good in the head. So we were building buildings in the middle of nowhere, and they called their development the Scottsdale Industrial Air Park. And they couldn't build buildings fast enough. And so my office right now is in Scottsdale Industrial Air Park, overlooking the runway, and the planes taking on and off. But I'm a Scottsdale guy. I went to Scottsdale High School, went to ASU, always been an ASU fan. Fraternity kid at ASU, so I'll never be a Supreme Court judge, unfortunately. but bachelor's in finance and accounting. I'm a CPA, have an MBA, and then I went back to ASU and for law school. My mom was so proud of me at first when I, graduated from college, and then I worked for the IRS, and then I went and got my MBA, and then I became a CPA. She was and then I told her I was going to law school, and she was like, get a job. So, but I did finally. So we're, Searle Law Firm, we're a boutique firm. We do tax, business, transactional work. We're business lawyers and estate plan lawyers, and being a tax guy at heart. I mean, I was a tax person to start off with the IRS, and a CPA went to law school. So just being a tax lawyer just makes me a better estate plan lawyer and a better business lawyer than business estate plan lawyers who don't understand the tax issues, because there's that monster in the room that no one sees when you're not a tax lawyer, and so that training does help out a lot. When it comes to estate planning, estate planning isn't something I ever intended to get into, Michelle. I didn't really think of that, but it was just a natural progression once I got into the practice of law. And honestly, the estate planning as a lawyer, it's a really rewarding form or area to practice in, because clients really appreciate what you're doing for them. I mean, you're giving them a plan for their family and their assets, forever when they're gone. Yeah, I remember, I think back to this, when the first time my wife and I had a babysitter for our first child, and we didn't let that child out of our sight for the first year. And it was almost our daughter was almost a year before the first time we left our child with a babysitter. And the babysitter came over, and my wife had like a 10-minute dissertation. There's this formula, and then here's the breast milk, and there's more breast milk over here, and here's how you mix it. And if you run out, you can do it over here, and here's the place where we do it, and here's my phone number, my mom's phone number, my dad's phone number, my sister's phone number, and here's the phone number where we'll be. We're going to be at this restaurant. I'll be having the fish. He'll be having the steak. And, I mean, my wife gave more instructions for the next, 4 hours while we were going on a date than most clients give to, the guardian of their children or the trustee of their trust to manage all of their assets for their family members forever. And it just amazes me how little detail that most people give in their estate plan. And the reason is that when I see people come into my office with estate plans from another lawyer, and most of the time it's not even from another lawyer. There's a lot of bad estate planning in town because you have all these trust mills. You have these financial planners who are, hey, I'm going to get you the cheap trust. It's only going to be $995. And, but that standard form is not really the provisions that you want. They're just a standard form of provisions. They put your name on it and sell it to you for $995. And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, if you're just going to put my name on a standard form and charge me $9.95, I might as well just go down to Office Max and pay $29 and get the trust in a box. Does that work? No. But, if it's not going to work, why pay $995? Pay $30. It's a better deal. And so we see a lot of that standard form types of planning. And what we do is different and better. And that's kind of what brought us around to Trust Design Center and how we go about this process and what we're offering through Trust Design Center.
Let's give a little bit of background in regards to what happens if somebody doesn't have a trust or a will. Probably a majority of the people that are out there don't have either, even if they don't own a house, but they have a car, or they just have, or maybe even a kid, and then something, they die. So then if you have neither, just give everybody just a real quick idea of what happens when you have neither. And then we can just give a brief description of what both of them are. And then we could go in a little bit more detail.
That's a good point. So if you don't have a trust or a will and you die, what happens is the state of Arizona has a plan for you, and it's the intestate laws. It's the intestate statutes. If you die intestate, that means without a will, then Arizona statute says that if you are married and you don't have any children outside the marriage, then everything goes to your spouse. If you're married and you do have children outside the marriage, then your spouse gets his or her 50% community property interest, but of all the assets, but all of your assets then go to the children. And, you know, so this is a big problem. Because, and I've had this case where, you know, it's a modest estate and people say, I don't have very much money. You know, we have a $300,000 house and, you know, we have $200,000 in, you know, investments and some retirement plans. And that's all we have. We don't need an estate plan. Well, here's what happens when you don't have a plan and you have, you know, children outside of the current marriage. The children get half of everything. So now mom has got to pay their children off of, you know, buy out their half of the house and give them half of the investment accounts. And mom doesn't have the money to do that. So mom has to sell the house and move out, and then she doesn't have a place to live. And that's not usually the plan. That's not the objective. Usually what you want to do is you want to provide for each other until the second person dies, and then you take care of the children. That's normally what we want. But with the without a will or a trust, then, you know, that's the bad result is usually what happens.
And then especially if you're, let's just say you're not married and you do have even, let's just say you have a couple thousand dollars in your bank account. Well, then that money goes to who? I mean, if there's no kids and you're single, like me, I'm single, right? So let's just say exit stage left, walk across the street, boom, bus gets me, and I had $1,000 in my bank account. That money is just, where does that go? Then no one can get that, right? And have a good time with it.
Well, the same situation, but let's put it into a little different terms. You're James Dean, and you don't have anything, and you have lots, but you don't have any will or trust. You don't have an estate plan, and you die. And so what happens with that? You know, either have a little or you have a lot. What happens? Well, you have no children, no spouse. It goes up to your parents. And
okay,
if the parents are dead, then it would come down to your brothers and sisters. And if, you know, brothers and sisters aren't there, then it would go down to your nieces and nephews. And then if it doesn't reach anyone, then it comes back up. It's called per stirpes. Now, in James Dean's situation, he had no relationship with his father. But all of his assets, the rights to, all the intellectual property rights went to his father, who he had never had a relationship with since he was a child, and that's who got everything. So you have a lot of unintended results when you don't have a plan.
And then that's the probate portion, where people say, oh, it's got to go through probate, which means that everything's frozen for a whole year if you don't have any of this, so it's just sitting there. And then obviously bad things can happen when things just sit, or am I misinterpreting the definition of probate?
Well, no, so probate means to prove a will is the Latin word for probate, and it comes from this term, to prove a will. If you don't have a will, then you really don't have a probate. It's called an intestate administration, but it's the same thing as a probate. It's a probate without a will. And that process is where you go to the court and you say, hey, judge, here's all the assets and here's all the person's family. I have these children or these brothers and sisters or whoever the heirs may be. And you go and you give notice to the world. You publish notice in a newspaper, general circulation, and you tell people, hey, if you have a claim against me, come on down. And so all the creditors come, and then you pay off everyone. If there's anything left, then you give it to the beneficiaries, who, if you have a will, you know, are going to be the beneficiaries on your will or trust, is a different process. So if you have a trust, you void this. But if you don't, then this is the process. And you know what? Probate isn't as terrible as people try to, you know, scare you into believing. Yeah, you have a lot of unintended results a lot of times, but it's, you know, not quite as terrible all the time as people are led to believe. It might cost you $4,000 or $5,000 a standard, you know, uncontested probate process with, you know, average amount of assets, let's say $1 million or $2 of assets. You're going to spend, you know, probably $5,000 to probate that, and it's going to take about a year because of the things you have to do. You do something, and then you wait, and you do something else, and you wait, and you file something, and you wait, and you record something, and you wait. And so the process takes, you know, about a year in most cases. But if you have a trust and your living trust holds title to your assets, your house, your car, your investment accounts, your, you know, business, your LLC, whatever, then there is no probate process. You just have a private administration. So I'm going to appoint my wife or my friend to be my trustee or my son, and then the trustee immediately has control over everything. And so in a probate process, no one can get into your safe, or no one can write a check and pay your bills or sign, you know, anything until first you go to the court and you get appointed by the court as the personal representative of the estate. And then once you're appointed, then you can act. But in a trust, the trustee, as soon as that person, an event occurs that makes that person that trustee has control over all the assets immediately. Doesn't mean they get to take them. They are under a fiduciary duty to do what the trust says to do. So the process is much quicker, simpler. Honestly, it's not always terribly less expensive to administer a trust because there's still things you have to do. It's just quicker, faster, easier. There's less people that can attack the trust. Trusts are very difficult to attack under most circumstances.
I mean, if you're going to end up having to clean up a mess afterwards and pay, like you said, $4,000 or $5,000, and it turns out that the trust, in order to put it all together, is not as much to do that. Appointments of people and layers in court, which we all know that's not 5 minutes and that's not 1 week. If money is tied up where you can't get to it, even if it's a small amount, bills can't get paid. You know, bad things will happen in a short period of time. The collectors and all that, they don't stop coming to ask for the payments just because someone's no longer there when there's other people involved with the assets and the family. So, I mean, it just doesn't necessarily make sense to not have this structure put in place when the consequences down the road are going to be much more expensive. And then obviously, like you said, there's a lot of bad things that are going to keep going when somebody's no longer here and to do the normal day-to-day things that we all basically take for granted, right? Because here we just grab this, we do that or the person, but once that person's no longer here, you can't put their name on something just because you're married to them. I mean, when you're not here, everything's, I mean, it literally, everything's like stops even, and you know, marriage doesn't necessarily take over everything, right? In that capacity that we might think automatically, well, we're married, so it's fine. No, it's not fine. You just can't go do certain things that you normally used to do because, you know, Johnny was on the couch, right?
Well, you're right, Michelle. And we see that all the time where things need to get paid. And, you know, you can't pay anything because no one has the authority to sign a check or control over assets. Even worse, a worse situation is where you don't have a will or a trust, and you don't die, but you're incompetent. You had a stroke, or you have Alzheimer's, or whatever the case may be, and you're now incompetent. And now you don't have a will or a trust. Who's going to be able to write your checks and pay your bills for you? There's nothing in place. So the process for that is a guardianship and conservatorship process. This process, we call it the living probate, is very expensive, and you have to do it every year. You have to come back and reapply periodically, and this is a very difficult, frustrating process because it's so expensive, and usually in those cases, you know, no one has any money to pay the lawyer to get them appointed, you know. And then you have different people, you know, fighting to get appointed. And then the court is going to order that the person who is incompetent has to have a separate lawyer. So there will be a court-appointed lawyer that everyone has to pay. And then each person that wants to be appointed has their own lawyer. And there's a lawyer that's going to be working for the estate. And so you have all – it just gets very expensive if you – are alive still. I mean, you know, what if you didn't die? I mean, isn't that generally the plan, that we want to, you know, remain alive for as long as we can? But if we do that, we don't have a plan, well, it's an even worse process. And then we see this all the time where someone comes in and the mom is probably not all there, but, you know, the brother gets out of prison, moves back home, kicks his sister out of the house, threatens her, and then next thing you know, he's on all the accounts and he's spent all the money. And, you know, 8 months later, by the time, you know, the sister that got kicked out, you know, hires a lawyer and tries to get back and eradicate this cancer out of the family, you know, that brother has spent, you know, half the money and has absconded with assets. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm describing to you right now. This is exactly a scenario of a case that we worked on over the past year and a half. It's terrible. This stuff happens all the time.
Right now, too, you have to take into consideration that the baby boomers and the generation that's just after them, they have a lot of assets. I mean, some of these people, they have retirements. They have they've grown up in a world and an attitude where they've saved and they've done well for themselves. And then the kids have, like you said, have now come back into the picture, where now mom and dad have either maybe passed or they're in a capacity where they're not they're not all there. And they're, because the proper trust, wills, documents, all that was not taken care of in advance, all this other stuff is now happening. So, I mean, more so, you're probably seeing that more so now than ever before, because there is an amount of wealth in that generation that really needs to be minded for while the mom, dad, and grandma, grandpa are still in the capacity to take care of that stuff, right?
This is kind of the other side of the story. We have a lot of baby boomers, and they have assets. They have investment assets. They have insurance. They have house. They have a business. They have assets. Well, you know, we always have this conversation every 10 or 20 years or so. Senators are, oh, my God, we got to do away with estate taxes. And the other people are, oh, no, this is only for the rich. Everyone else doesn't get any benefit from reducing estate taxes. The fact of the matter is very few people pay estate taxes. Even when the estate tax exclusion amount, you can give, you know, $3.5 million the way it was, you know, some years ago. Even it was that amount, a client walks in my office and says, you know, we have $10 million. Well, that client, husband and wife with $10 million, they're not going to pay any estate taxes when they die, because there's so many planning options that's available, that's straight up in the Internal Revenue Code and allowable under the law, that we can do things that not only protect those assets from creditors, but also we're able to shelter those assets from estate taxes. So, for example, if I have $10 million piece of property, it's worth $10 million, and I give it to you, Michelle, and I made a $10 million gift to you. But if I have a $10 million piece of property and that property is owned in a limited partnership, and I'm a 45% member and my wife is a 45% member, and we give, you know, 9% to our children, and then we have a general partner who runs the show, and that general partner has a 1% interest. So now I have a 45% interest in this partnership that owns this $10 million piece of property. I give you, Michelle, my 45% interest. Is it worth $4.5 million? It isn't. because I don't own the property. What I own is a limited partnership interest that allows me to get distributions if the general partner ever gives them. And I really can't go out and sell my limited partnership interest on the open market. Who's going to buy a minority interest of a limited partnership that's owned by a family where they may or may not ever get the money? And so you're going to get a discount when you value the limited partnership interest. So here's a scenario where, you know, clients have $10 million business or asset, but when we own that property in a family limited partnership and I give my 45% interest to my children, instead of it being worth $4.5 million, it might be worth $3 million, because who's going to pay $4.5 million for that limited partnership interest? You're going to pay something less. You're going to pay something, but it has less value because you don't have any control, and you don't have any control over the distributions coming out, and you can't sell it. So it's not marketable, and you don't have any control. Interestingly enough, this valuation discount planning is very popular, and it's something that's straight up legal, and the IRS, the Supreme Court, everyone says this is just correct. This is just the correct way to value things. Interestingly, yesterday I noticed in, I think it was the New York Times, there was a big article, the bombshell report. President Trump, his father, tax fraud and all that kind of stuff. Basically, what they're complaining about is they did exactly this. This is what everybody does. This is straight up legal. The Supreme Court, the Internal Revenue Code says you can do this. And so they did this type of planning. That's basic estate planning. And this is what is available. So there are a lot of things that's available to the higher net worth client, or the people that are in business and making money and have, you know, high wealth. The other thing that this type of planning brings about, not only does it reduce the estate tax equation upon your death, but also these types of techniques serve an asset protection planning. So if I own that $10 million piece of property and I get into some type of trouble and someone sues me and I owe them, you know, I got in a car accident and their baby died and they have the $1 billion baby, now I owe these people $1 billion, if I own that $10 million piece of property, they just come take that property. But if I own a limited partnership interest, well, under Arizona law, you just can't come and take my limited partnership interest. You can only stand in my shoes as an assignee, and you get whatever comes out of the limited partnership that would otherwise come to me, which is a distribution if the general partner ever decides to make one, and they don't, and a K-1, which is here's how much money the partnership made, here's your percentage interest of that. You have to pay taxes on that. And so the creditor just pays your taxes until they decide to settle with you on some lower amount. And so these types of plans that we do for high net worth clients and using irrevocable trusts and partnerships and different things, they also serve as an asset protection tool. And so we see a lot of business owners that will come and that want to transfer their business to their children, for example. And there's a way that, you know, I'm not going to tell you how to do it because it's going to be boring the living nuts off of all your listeners, but I'll tell you the end result. You know, I have a client that comes in and says, hey, I've got this $5 million business. It's making about $400,000 or $500,000 a year. I've had it for about 25 years. It's a pretty solid track record. I want to transfer this business to my children to one of my children. And I want to equalize, you know, the gift to my other child. But I don't want to lose control. I don't want to lose my income. So I want all my income to the day I die. And I want control to make sure my son doesn't screw it up. He's been working in the business for 10 years now, but you know, I mean, I still want him to mess it up. And I don't want to pay any income taxes on the sale if I were to sell it to my son. I don't want to pay any estate taxes or gift taxes if I were to gift it to him. So I don't want to pay gift taxes. I don't want to pay estate taxes. I don't want to pay income taxes. I want control. I want my income, but I want to give it to my child. Can I do that? And I say, lucky you, Santa Claus is coming up here in a couple months, and he's going to bring that present. And there is a way to do exactly that. And in doing that, the whole program also adds a really strong level of asset protection over that business. So in the hands of the child, if sons gets divorced and the divorcing spouse attacks his assets or whatever the case may be, that business remains protected from any creditors and remains intact. So there's a lot of good things that we can do in estate planning for the higher net worth clients. And also, you know, we're talking about the lower net worth clients that might not have an estate because they are estate planning because they don't think they need one. Well, there's a lot of bad things that can happen if you don't. So on both sides of that spectrum, having a plan is the better plan.
I think the word estate is what scares people or makes them think that they disqualify themselves. And that is just basically more of a legal term, meaning stuff. Right. And stuff could be a bank account. It could be a car, it could be a house, it could be 25 businesses and multi mansion. So we think estate means I have a lot of money, and it doesn't. It's just a legal term that they decided, you know, they be the powers that be that created all this structure, that they have to call it something. Right. So that's, I don't want people to think that because I don't have a lot of money doesn't mean I don't need a will or a trust, or because I don't have an estate. Estate means you have something, which technically is just really you, right? Because we all have something. So an estate planning just means I might be planning my personal exit strategy, not necessarily with my 45 mansions, correct?
So an estate is everything you own. That's what the estate is. It's everything you own. It's just as simple as that. But what you're kind of leading into is, you know, some people don't think they have, you know, a lot of money. It's kind of funny. I'll have clients who walk in the office, and they're like, I don't even know why we're here. We really don't have an estate. You know, we only have $3 million. So why are we even here?
You're like, can I get you anything to drink? Would you like me to order in lunch? Because please have a seat. Did you need a car for the day? $3 million.
I had a client with $7 million. The wife, there was separate property. It was a second marriage. The wife had $7 million. The husband had $9 million. And then their estate plan, they were going to pay the tuition only for their grandchildren to go to college, but not for a master's or any postgraduate degree, and none of the expenses during college, only the tuition only, because, gosh, they don't have that much money, and they don't want, you know, to squander it off on, you know, all these additional expenses. And I'm thinking, hold on a second, you got $16 million between the two of you. You got plenty of money
right.
to pay for an apartment at the dorm or whatever. But, you know, what happens is this. When we have the clients that have, you know, $1 million or $2 million or less in that range, and they don't want – so when we're doing an estate plan, we don't do the standard form deal. You come in, you give us some basic information, we put your kids' names on a form and hand it to you. We actually go through a design process, and I'll sit down with the client, and when clients walk out of my office – they know more about estate planning than most estate plan lawyers handing out the standard form. It's really amazing how little most of these people know about estate planning. But I go through all the different parts of the trust, and I'll say, hey, this provision, we can do it three different ways, A, B, and C. Here's how the three different ways work. Which one works best for your family circumstances? Okay, you like C. Okay, great. Now, the next provision, here's different ways we can do it. So we will go through and design that trust and fine-tune it so it works specifically the best way for your specific, you know, desires. And a lot of times, you know, a client will want to put their values into their estate plan. You know, some people value, different things. And you can put your values into your estate plan. That's another topic. Now, this process that we go through, this design process, I mean, a lot of times we'll spend, you know, 3 or 4 hours and then come back and spend another 2 hours, and then we go and draft the plan. But some clients are like, well, I don't want to pay $5,000 and, you know, spend 5 hours talking to some boring tax lawyer about my estate plan. What I want is for my estate plan lawyer to know what to do and figure it out. And, you know, I want to spend a little bit of time, but I still want something high quality and customized, but I don't want to spend all that money and time. So for that client, we have a different process. So we have three different processes in our office. And the process that I wanted to introduce to you is what we call the Trust Design Center process. What I did, Michelle, is after designing, 100 trusts for clients, and but by the time I got to having done this quite a few times, I asked the questions. I know the answers, because when the client walks in, this is a second marriage, blended family, my kids, your kids, our kids situation. Well, the answers are going to be different than when it's the Beaver Cleaver, Warden June, Cleaver family. We have different types of issues. When we have young children, we have different issues than if our children are already in their 30s and 40s. Do we want to have incentive types of provisions? Do we need to protect our children from themselves? So there's different things and different things that we'll do in different, circumstances. Well, I've been through it so many times that I know the answers that the client's going to give me when I can see their profile. So what I did is I designed this thing called TrustDesignCenter.com. In Trust Design Center, we streamline that design process. And so if I can understand some basic things about a client, are you single? Are you married? If you're married, do you have a small net worth or a high net worth? If you're married, do you have a blended family or it's the nuclear family? Just from that basic information alone, I will change the basic undercarriage of how these trusts are built. The funding formulas, the powers of appointments, and the different things that we do inside a trust, we're not handing out the standard form. I will change basic undercarriage of how these trusts are built based on that information alone, and then we ask some additional questions. Hey, do you want asset protection for your kids? You don't have to have it, but you can. It costs a little extra to do that, and if you value asset protecting your assets in the hands of your kids, then you'll choose this option. And so one of the reasons I did this is I just got sick of having this conversation. Here's a couple conversations. Bling, bling. Hi, this is Grandma Jones. How much do you charge a due-way? Yeah, I just got sick of answering that question. Oh, how about this one? Hey, this is the financial planner. I sent you 4 clients last week. How'd that go? I'm like, well, the one client that called and didn't make an appointment. I don't even know these people. Don't hand out my card. That never works. And that client, those 4 clients that asked you about an estate plan never got one and still don't have one, because handing someone a business card is really not a great way to make a referral. How about this? Hey, Whitney, why are you charging clients $5,000 when the guy across the street's doing it for $1,295? I got sick of having that conversation. The answer is because what we're doing is better and different. It's a light years difference of what we're doing for our clients. But I figured, hey, I can compete and deliver my level of customization and high quality for a lower price if I do it in a different design process. And so I developed this streamlined design process called TrustDesignCenter.com. You can go on there, answer questions, go through, and then, the starting point is $1,295. And if I just, like I said, if I just know that you're married, it's a blended family, and your net worth is more or less than $3 million, from that basic information, I'm going to draft you a better trust than you're going to get from the guy across the street. But then we ask some more questions. Hey, would you like to have remarriage protection? And what remarriage protection is remember the fight between Anna Nicole Smith and her much older husband and the children from her much older husband? Well, if you don't want that to happen to you, we can have this provision in here that says, after one of us dies, this, the survivor gets remarried, that the new spouse has to sign a prenuptial agreement disclaiming the rights of the decedent spouse's assets, so we protect those assets for the children. Every single wife that comes in the door wants that option. So there's a series of things that you can, that you're not getting for the guy from the guy across the street for $12.95. But we're going to offer that to you. And there's, you know, some small upcharges for those different things. But this is a way for you to be in control of your price and to say, I value asset protection. Give my kids asset protected subtrust for an extra $700. I want remarriage protection. Give my family the remarriage protection for $250. And so you can pick and choose which of these features you want in your trust. You give us your credit card number and click go, and we give you a call. We are going to ask you some, you know, just to confirm your choices and the information we have. And through that process, I've streamlined my design time, and I'm able to deliver the estate plan at what is essentially half the price as if you went through the different process. And so this is not only a great process for a lot of clients that find us on the internet, but it's also a process that my financial planner friends, my insurance friends, my realtor friends, my CPA friends, my enrolled agent friends, they want to bring this to their clients. And so what I've seen is a lot of the professionals that deal with a good number of clients, and they're dealing with their, you know, personal things, their personal assets, like the realtors and insurance professionals and financial planners and CPAs do. They like this process, so I have a program for those people, and I will teach you the basics of what this, what these different options are, and then give you brochures that your client walks in and says, hey, I like to, you have any referrals for an estate plan lawyer? Instead of giving them my business card and no one calls, instead just pull out the brochure, have them fill it out, you know, let them look through the options, and then you can go right on the internet site, download the information, and we meet with the client within 2 weeks and deliver their trust. And so it's a great way for people like yourself and other professionals to bring a high-quality product to their clients at what is essentially a 50% discount from what I'm charging, you know, at the retail rate and the full design process.
The beauty of all of this is obviously that there's a lower cost, which is always great for everybody, right? But it also simplifies the process, and it makes it something that the average person, or even if you have a bunch of money, and unless you are well into this whole concept of wills and trust and the legal things, I mean, just the language alone is a little bit overwhelming. It simplifies that for the regular average person who wants to get a gist of what's going on, because obviously that it's very important to make sure you have these things. I don't want to be an expert in a ton of stuff, but I want to know the gist so at least I have an idea. I got my arms around it a little bit. So you're simplifying the process. You're simplifying the different add-ons, the language, the whole process, and what really matters, which are things that are very critical to have, which are things that you could have, but you don't necessarily have to. And it makes it affordable. And it also cuts down on the time, because maybe that's one of the reasons why somebody doesn't go forward with this. They got it. It's like, this will take a couple of weeks. And I have to go in there 3 or 4 times, and it's hours and hours. It's like buying a car. You're like, oh, I didn't want to think about it because I got to go in there for a whole day.
So
this way,
know.
You know, it's like, I'll just walk. Forget it. If it wasn't so hot here, then, you know, you would never even go into the showrooms. But you're simplifying the process, and you're making it more approachable. And it's not as threatening, where somebody maybe feels that they can actually have a conversation, as opposed to walking into a traditional, let's just say, old school type of, you know, impression in your brain, where, yeah, you know, you walk into this main lobby and there's bookcases and there's a, you know, 45 different attorney names on the wall. And
you're exactly right. This is a simplified, streamlined process, and at, you know, obviously a much lower rate. But you know, you said something that's kind of funny. A lot of people, you know, they want to go do their research first. And I've had this where I've had someone come in my office and say, okay, well, let me go do some research, then I'll come back in. And then, you know, I talk to them, you know, a month later. Well, I'm kind of looking at, I'm still researching a living will, and I've read some things. I'm trying to figure that out. And then I'm, you know, been looking at these other things called, you know, insurance trusts, and I haven't done my research yet. And I say, you know, why are you trying to teach yourself how to be a lawyer on the internet? You don't need to do that. Come in my office, and in 30 or 40 minutes, I will teach you more about all those things than you could possibly understand on your own for the next 6 months of, you know, reading stuff on the internet. Client comes to my office and says, okay, well, so this living will, I've read this article and that article and the other article, and I'm like, okay, well, here's what a living will does. Living will is not your living trust. A living will is, if you remember Terry Schiavo many years ago, she was on life support, but they couldn't take her off. So a living will is where you're telling the world, if I'm on life support and my doctors agree that I have an incurable, you know, medical condition, it's, you know, irreversible, and, you know, I need to take myself off life support so I can, you know, die a dignified, you know, natural end. I can do that, but only I can do that. So no one else can do that. So I get up in the morning and I go for a jog at 5 a.m. and I come ring your doorbell 100 times to get up. And I say, Michelle, if I'm on life support, make sure you pull the plug. And after about 3 years of living next door to me, you really, really, really are hoping that someday you can pull that plug, because you're sick of me waking up every morning begging you to pull the plug. And then when the day happens, you go to the judge and you say, Judge, every morning he told me to pull the plug, and I know that he wants to do that. And the court says, well, as soon as he tells me, then we'll do it. But until then, we won't, because only the person can refuse medical treatment. That's what a living will is. A living will is where you are saying, I want to refuse medical treatment if I'm in this situation. It took me 1 minute to tell you that instead of spending 3 months trying to figure it out on your own. That kind of leads me into the final, my final thoughts. For anyone that is listening to this podcast, if you can go to Michelle's site and there will be a link, we will give you a free hour to come sit down. I'll teach you everything. I'll answer all your questions within that hour. And that's just a free hour. You don't have to buy anything or hire us to do anything. But if you have legal questions about any of this estate planning stuff, feel free to come in, use your 1 hour free time.
With all that being said, you're simplifying the process. And as I gave the analogy for about the car, that you could do all this research, you can go for days, months, and weeks. You could Google and you can try to understand who's the best, who's this, who costs that. But really, at the end of the day, you're giving them a free hour consult. So why would they not want to take advantage of that and at least kind of get a feel for what they're getting themselves into, and then realize how simple that it can be, correct?
That's exactly true. So, Michelle, I have a lot of clients that will, hey, before I have the meeting with you about my estate plan, I need to do a little research so I know something about it so I can make some good choices. And then, you know, a month later, they're still researching stuff and still don't really fully understand it. And I say, you know, quit trying to teach yourself how to be a lawyer on the internet. Come in, and usually within an hour, I can teach you more about estate planning and what it's all about, what the choices are, and how things work than you're going to be able to figure out on your own for, you know, the next 6 months of researching things on the internet. And that's why you asked me about helping the people that call into the show. And so we're going to give free hour. You don't have to buy anything. I'm not going to pull on, unlike the auto, you know, purchase deal, I'm not going to give you the, hey, today and today only, you have got to buy now. I'm not going to give you that deal. You can come in for a free hour, ask me whatever questions you want about estate planning, how things work, and I'll be happy to meet with you for up to an hour. And there's no charge, and you don't have to hire me or anything. So it's just something I want to give back to your listening audience.
I appreciate that, because I was trying to just get the overall picture in people's minds that it doesn't have to be something that's so far out of reach. It's not something that has to be, you know, a state doesn't mean that I have all this wealth. It's very simple. It's like you said, it's a state means it's the stuff you own. It could be just some tangible items and a simple bank account, where these are things that you need to make sure that they're taken care of properly. And especially if there is a spouse or there's children, or if there is a little bit of wealth, it really is critical. But if your process through the Trust Design Center is simplifying that, making it less expensive to do, and you're throwing in a 1 hour free consult, I mean, there's no reason why everybody doesn't take advantage of that, because really, what are they doing? They're creating peace of mind for where they are now, right? Because there are perks that you can have that with the trust while you're still alive that are beneficial to you. So it's not just something that happens when you're dead. There's benefits to having both of these while you're still around.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of funny you say that. A will doesn't do anything until you're dead. A trust helps and is effective immediately upon signing it and then funding it. And then when you die, the trust transcends your death and continues on. So that it's that one part of the plan that's effective now and then after you're dead. And but yeah, in the closing thought here is, you know, we're happy to, you know, give your listening audience a free 1 hour, sit down, talk to me, ask me questions, and pick my brain. And, you know, being an IRS guy, a lot of people will come in and want to ask me, you know, IRS problems, questions. That's okay too, if that's what you want to ask. But, you know, some people might want to come in and say, hey, I'm going to form a business. Should I be an LLC or should I be a corporation? Should I be an S corporation or a C corporation? If you want to ask me that question, that's also a fine question. So just not only estate planning questions, but, you know, any of your listeners, they want to come in and meet with me and ask me questions on these topics for an hour, we'd be happy to give that back.
I think that's wonderful, and I appreciate that very much, because you've just opened the door to a lot of questions about a lot of things. But I think it's critical, and it's wonderful that you're being able to give some of that free time back to people, because it really will help. It'll help a lot of people as long as they're willing to take advantage of it. So your information will be on our website, which is everythinghomepodcast.com. The show will be on there in addition to your website and a little information about you and your phone number. But for this particular offer that you're giving out to help people, do you want them to just call you? Is that the best way to just schedule an appointment? Probably that's the quickest, right?
Yeah, and let's do this. You know, I don't want this to be, you know, for the rest of time, but, you know, over the next 90 days, if you have a question, call the office, 480-776-6055. My paralegal is Ben. He keeps my calendar, and he'll coordinate a time when we can have a conversation.
So we'll do a 90-day plan your life estate fest. Everybody can make some decisions. It's a great way to end the year to start the new one. And
not everyone, only good people who are doing good things.
Right. See, it's full circle, people. It's full circle. No, I appreciate the fact that you're paying attention. So that's always good too. So we're all
the
like-minded.
Running around. I'm standing up on top of my desk, afraid to jump back down there. So I got to pay attention here.
Oh, it's funny. See, that's true. See, we're all on the same page. So now I appreciate you paying attention. So basically, I think that's an amazing offer. It's an opportunity for people really to get something structured, stuff that maybe they put off for a while, and really now have the get the hour, get the advice, talk about a few other things. But really, it's life changing when somebody makes the decisions to go down this road to get things in order. And like I said, even if it's a small amount of money, small amount of assets. So don't be threatened or don't feel intimidated that you need multiple mansions and a butler and all that other fun stuff that comes with the TV shows. So it's not like that anymore.
But if you have that, that's okay too. Just
call the
office, get to Ben and tell Ben, I'm a good person doing good things and I want to talk to a good lawyer.
<That's>
and
awesome.
He'll schedule it.
That's awesome.
Oh, okay.
Whitney, we're gonna have you back on. We're gonna talk about, I think the next one, what we'll do is, because I need a tax guy, I need a trust and estate guy. So we're gonna have you as one of our expert contributors. That means you're gonna come on, do frequent segments, That way we have your expertise for our listeners, so they're going to constantly get information from you. We're going to talk about IRS and tax tips and things that they're going to need to be aware of too. So we'll do that on the next show, but give your phone number again. And then, like I said, we'll have you back on soon because there's so much stuff to talk about and this stuff's really important.
Yeah. The next one we can talk about are those pesky IRS tricks. 480-776-6055 is the number for Sorrell Law Firm. And this is where you'll find the Trust Design Center. We are good people doing good things.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Oh, man, I appreciate it. Well, I appreciate you, Whitney. So thank you so much. And I we're going to be able to get you some great clients over there. And I really want to be able to help some people and get the things structured for their lives to make sure they're prepared. So
thank you for
we'll
having
sending
me,
people
Michelle.
Your way. Thanks. Oh, yeah. You're so welcome. It's always a pleasure having a conversation with you. And the next one's even going to be more fun because we're going to go ahead and beat up the IRS when we talk next.
I love doing that.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Whitney. You have a great day. And I appreciate it.
Thank you, too. Thanks.
Well, that was Whitney Sorrell with the Sorrell Law Firm and the Trust Design Center. I hope everybody got a little bit of information that can help them with their estate planning. And keep in mind, estate doesn't mean tons and tons of money and tons of stuff. What is great is for the next 90 days, have our listeners be able to give him a call and do a free hour consult to talk about the estate, the wills, the trust. Some business formation. If you've got questions, you got questions IRS, he's doing an hour free consult. That is an amazing tool that he is going to be offering everybody. And again, these are the, as he was joking around, good people doing good business and good things. So that's what we're delivering to you. We're delivering people that actually care, that are looking out for your best interests, and they're delivering some great products and services. His information will be on our website, which is everythinghomepodcast.com. So go on there, and if you're listening right now and you want to give them a call, it's 480-776-6055. You can listen and subscribe to the Everything Home Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM. Please like and follow us on Facebook at Everything Home Podcast, and make it a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick.